So this is a wonderfully encouraging passage for us. But as he begins, the situation was, well, it must have been very troubling. It was a really challenging moment for the church. Moses has died. And if we just try and take in the impact of what that must have been for Joshua and for the children of Israel, Moses, the great deliverer, the special prophet of God, the one who had led them out in the Exodus from Egypt, who by God's power had performed the miracles of the plagues, Moses, who had saved them when they sinned with the golden calf, and through his mediation, God's grace had been restored to them. And Moses, who'd walked with them for 40 years in the wilderness, this most mighty man of God has now gone. And yet, this has happened at maybe the most significant, most challenging moment yet. They've come to the very edge of the River Jordan, and in front of them is the promised land of Canaan, but it's full of hostile nations and strong fortresses and armies. And so here they are in this moment of crisis, and how they must have been afraid, how they must have felt uncertain. And then in the midst of it, the Lord speaks this wonderful word to the people, to Joshua. And the Lord says, I am with you. I am still with you. I will be with you, Joshua, as I was with Moses. And the key message that I want us to hear coming out of the scriptures is the Lord says, have courage. We should have courage as his people because he is with us. No matter what circumstances we face, have courage because the Lord is with us. One of the remarkable things in this passage is it really testifies to God's faithfulness. Even though Moses has gone, the Lord is still faithful to his people, that he will still continue with them. His covenant with them is still strong. And that's one of the main messages or themes of the whole book of Joshua. It's quite striking that the book of Joshua ends with a very similar situation. It ends with the death of Joshua. And again, another moment of transition. But a generation later, when Joshua comes to die, if you look at the end of the book, you find that they receive there's the same word. There's the same promise that God will be with them, that God will be faithful. And so generation to generation, God is faithful. And that's one of the main things that this book is here in Scripture to show us. And of course, that this promise that God is with us is for us. It's not just for Joshua. You probably know that Psalm 27 and this promise where the Lord says, I will be with you, I will not leave you nor forsake you, they're both quoted together in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 specifically, and applied to us. All the promises of Scripture are for us as God's people. And the same promise to Joshua is directly given to us in Hebrews. And one of the wonderful things, it's one of the most beautiful verses, is in the Greek in Hebrews, when it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it has five negatives in the Greek. And it's not like in English, where negatives cancel each other out. In Greek, negatives reinforce each other. So in the Greek translation, it says, essentially the Lord says, I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. And so we should have courage, because the same promise is ours. And I say have courage because you probably noticed that that's the Lord's instruction three times to Joshua. It's there in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. It's there in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. As if ultimately you get this right, Joshua, you'll get everything right. Be strong, be courageous. And then it's there again in verse 9, be strong and have good courage. And courage is a Christian virtue. Courage is a godly virtue. Courage is... Oh, wonderful. It's Gordon.
Sorry, is the front door up? Oh, no. Somebody's locked you in.
Yeah, that one's locked.
So courage is a Christian virtue. Courage is doing what is right, even in the face of adversity. Courage is doing what is right, even when you're afraid. So really, courage is to have a deep moral conviction, a moral strength, to be brave enough to do what's right, even though it's costly or difficult. And so the Lord says, have courage, because he's with him. And where I thought this was so helpful for us is we need to have courage today. There is pressure. There are difficulties if we're going to follow Christ. It's going to come from our families. It's going to come at work. It's coming from a corrupt society around us. It's coming from the government. We need to have courage to be faithful, to stand firm for Christ, to be his witnesses. And when there's pressure, to be silent and to conform, what we need is courage. So in the passage, Joshua was given, let me just highlight, three encouragements telling him to have courage. The first is, he's told to remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God. In verse 2, in response to Moses' death, God's word is, remember, I've promised this land to you. I'm going to give it to you just as I've promised. And of course, it's referring back to the promise the Lord made to Abraham as the father of his people. So we're talking several generations before, centuries before, the Lord promised this land to his church, the land of Canaan, to the family of Abraham. And now here we are, all this time later, and the Lord says, Joshua, that promise still stands. And more than that, now is the time I'm going to begin to fulfill it. And then if you look at verse 3, Joshua is reminded it's a really comprehensive promise. Every place you set your foot, Joshua, the Lord is giving you. And then it's verse 4, it's an expansive promise. The boundaries of the promised land that the Lord lays out here are huge. It would incorporate modern-day Syria, Saudi Arabia, parts of the Middle East that actually Israel didn't actually ever obtain yet. But it's this huge vision that the Lord's laying out before him of the greatness of the promise of what God is going to give his people. And it's a powerful promise, verse 5. No man will stand before him. That really means Joshua is going to win every battle. When the fight comes, no one will ever defeat Joshua because God will be with him. And so this is the first encouragement, to have courage. We've got the mighty promises of God that he is already beginning to fulfill. And of course, for us, it's even greater than what Joshua could see at that moment. Because for us, on the other side of the coming of the Lord, we know that the promise has got this even bigger scope and vision. You know what I mean? The Lord lays out these boundaries here, but doesn't the New Testament say that for us, we're going to inherit the earth? The land promise is interpreted in the New Testament to say the earth, the glorious new creation and the kingdom of God that's coming. And the Lord promises it. So have courage. And just as the Lord promises that he's beginning to fulfill these promises, that his power is going to be accomplishing it, so we have the promise as we go out and share the gospel that the Lord will be building his kingdom. He will be saving souls. He's going to be bringing in his saints. So have courage. And then the second encouragement Joshua is given, and this is the main one, this is the greatest encouragement. The Lord is with him. That's the great theme that we're considering on these Wednesday nights. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Again, verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the reason to have courage as a Christian. You're not alone. Whatever you face, the Lord is with you. Of course, he was literally, dramatically, powerfully with Joshua. Joshua could look to the tabernacle and know that the Spirit of God was dwelling there. The glorious, shining presence of God And he could look to that and take courage. But also, if we think about this phrase, we're hearing it tonight in a way that we've not heard it used before in this series of studies. That here the Lord is not so much speaking about that glorious presence dwelling in the tabernacle. Rather, it's the promise of his working in and through Joshua is what he means here by, I will be with you. It's a promise that God is going to speak to him. Isn't that what the scriptures have told us is so remarkable about Moses? That the Lord spoke with him face to face. He received revelation and guidance and wisdom from God. And in the same way, we'll find in the book of Joshua that he's given revelation. The word of God comes to him and directs him, and he's given wisdom. And of course, the other side to that too is it means the Lord's favor is with him. The Lord's grace is with him. He will be successful as he leads God's people, as long as he himself is faithful. And again, all of this is opened up and expanded for us, because the presence of God is with us, the same Holy Spirit, but in a greater way, of not in the limited one place of the tabernacle, but he dwells in you, the powerful Spirit of God. And we are his temple, we are his tabernacle. And God's word is with us. Not immediately with prophetic revelation the way it was for Joshua, but in a better way. Set down for us, given to us, kept for us in scripture. And we've got the full body of scripture, whereas Joshua only had the books of Moses. And, wonderfully, the favour of the Lord is on us. It feels quite daring to say that, doesn't it? It's quite a wonderful thing to say. But the favour of the Lord is upon us. His grace is upon us because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, something even greater than Joshua. When God looks on us, he is for us. And so we can have courage in the mission that we have as his church. God is with us. And then the third encouragement that Joshua is given is that he should go on because God is working out his purposes. Something slightly different here to saying about his promises. Let me draw your attention to the words of verse 6, which in our Bible says, to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land. But there's actually something here in the Hebrew that's difficult to put into English. The tense and form of the word has a kind of causative sense. Really, the Lord is saying here, I will cause you to divide the land to them. I will be working through you to accomplish this. It's not a sense of in any way that you might do this or this possibly could happen. No, the real sense of it in the Hebrew is I'm going to effectually use you as my instrument to accomplish this purpose of bringing about this inheritance. And I think that's also really the sense of what it says in verse 9. The Lord says, have I not commanded you? What's the sense of that? He's saying, I've given the word, Joshua. I have commanded it. I have ordained it. So it will surely be. Isn't my word all powerful? What I speak will come to be. That's the sense of what the Lord is saying. It's of his powerful word that he's spoken going out is going to accomplish his purposes. And in both those places, verses 6 and verse 9, the Lord's really encouraging Joshua that his purposes are going to be worked out. It's an irresistible thing. What he's commanded will be. The Lord is working out his sovereign plan to bring his people to glory. Nothing's going to turn it back. And the great encouragement for Joshua is he's got a part to play in that. Sometimes when thinking about God's sovereignty and that he's working out his purposes, folks get tied up in knots trying to work out what does that mean for what part I play in free will. That's not the right way around of looking at it. I think a biblical way, as we see here, is actually it sets us free to run in the way of doing God's will. It gives us a great confidence that if, like Joshua, our hearts are true, we're following the word of God, the commands we're given, we can have a tremendous confidence. God's purposes are being accomplished and worked out. and that we're part of this all-conquering, invincible plan of saving a people. It's actually liberating. It gives you great confidence. We go out to evangelize. We hear God's word every Sunday. It will not return void. God will save. He has good works he's prepared for us to walk in. So there's all these great encouragements that Joshua is being given. And really the Lord is saying, don't look at the circumstances. Look at me. I am with you. And this answers all questions. This meets all needs. So it is the most tremendous encouragement for us, isn't it? Whatever the River Jordans are, the impassable barriers that are in front of us, whatever the spiritual fortresses and enemies are, whatever might seem to be a setback for the church, if Moses is taken from us, we are not afraid. Lord says, be bold. Really, I think the challenge, brethren, is the Lord is saying, have faith. Have faith. That's what he's saying to Joshua. But faith is not some passive thing. It's not a sitting around waiting. Faith is an active, stirring thing that makes you get up and serve God and go out and try and do bold things for him. It's a mighty, powerful trust in God that spurs you on. Take action. Preach. Evangelize. The Lord's waiting on us to get on with his work. With faith and confidence. And I know we've perhaps talked about it many times before, but to finish with a great example of the kind of courageous faith we're talking about. To be bold, be strong, be courageous. We find it in the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. It's exactly the kind of spirit of faith that the Lord's telling Joshua to have. And if you remember that story in 1 Samuel 14, there's just Jonathan and his servant, his armor bearer. They're out wandering around and they see a Philistine garrison on the top of a hill. It looks like an impossible position to take on, and they're outnumbered. And Jonathan says to his servant, let's have a go. Because who knows what the Lord might do? He can save by few just as easily as by many. And they go up, and the Lord is with them. And they win this incredible rout, and then that leads to the whole army coming in. And there's a great victory for God's people because they acted in faith. They had courage that God's word was true. And they step out in faith to go for it. So that's the great encouragement in this passage, that have courage. Have courage, brothers and sisters, whatever the opposition is. Have courage to do what's right and be faithful and preach Christ. He's with us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the stirring encouragement you give us in your word. We thank you, Lord, for being with us, that your favor is upon us through Jesus Christ. That you are faithful, Lord, and will never leave us. And we thank you that we have a part in the working out of your purposes. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how dark the world may seem sometimes, the end is glorious. That your people will be saved. Your kingdom will come. And that nothing, Lord, can turn back your plan and your will. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have a spirit of courage and boldness. Please forgive us, Lord, if we have sometimes been afraid and doubted you. If we have at times given in to despair and hopelessness. Lord, sometimes we confess that we're just overwhelmed by our circumstances. And some problems are too great for us. Please, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to have courage and do what's right. And help us, Lord, always to remember your promises, that you are with us. Please, Lord, help us to pray tonight in a spirit of faith, looking, Lord, for you to hear and to keep your word and to help us. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.